Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Good morning, church family. Good morning to those of you joining us online. Today's service is going to look a little different. We want to keep you guessing around this place. So last week we had like 40 people on stage, and today we get Greta. And she's worth 40 people. And also today, I'm going to be giving two shorter talks, and both talks are going to lead to a specific invitation. We're launching a new series today called Presence and Power. If you haven't picked up one of these Bible study guides, they're available in the Welcome Center. Would encourage you, if you want to go a little bit deeper, this is a great way to do that. So I hope that you pick up that resource there. I want us to begin this morning by looking at a passage in Isaiah. I know that many of the women in the room are studying the book of Isaiah together. This summer, I saw the setup for that and was like, wow, there's like 160 of you that are going through the book of Isaiah together. And I just bless you as you do that. The number of prophetic words that are fulfilled with the coming of Jesus is just amazing. And I hope that your faith is built this summer as you walk through this book. This morning, I want to draw our attention to Isaiah 53, and I want us to look at verses 3-5. This is a prophetic word that Jesus fulfills with his coming, with his death and resurrection. And it reads, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. It was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, and a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our transgressions, pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed." This is the word of the Lord. Our first invitation this morning will be to the communion table. This prophecy that we've just read foreshadows the road that Jesus would take to the cross. His hands pierced for our rebellion, blood shed for your sorrow and mine. He was beaten for our healing. His blood paid a ransom for our salvation. Jesus was familiar with these words that we just read in Isaiah 53. In fact, Peter tells us in his gospel that there was this time where Jesus visited the house of Peter, and Peter is Matthew's gospel. Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed. And Jesus entered the room and he healed her. And after he healed her, the crowd began to bring those that were sick and demon-possessed, and he continued to deliver them, bring freedom. And it says he healed all the sick. It fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah when he said, "He took our sicknesses and he removed our diseases." And today, as we celebrate communion, we are celebrating not only that our sin was paid on the cross, but our sickness as well. It was happening. The sick were being healed. The captives were being set free. Spiritual healing and freedom has been purchased for us because of Jesus' death on the cross. Physical healing as well. For our mortal bodies upon our death, but even times at times in the here and now. Divine healing, forgiveness of sins, they're all available because of what we celebrate today. And it's that forgiveness that he purchased that allows us to come and to bring that which he brings to our minds, that which has grieved him that we have done in our lives before him. We ask for his forgiveness. We bring our sins before him into the light. And we know that when we do that, he actually steps towards us, not away from us. It's a powerful thing. And so we're commanded in scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 to examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. And we do that confidently because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so before we go any further, we're going to take just a moment to invite the Holy Spirit as convictor to bring anything to attention that we need to place before him so that we can receive his forgiveness before we come. Would you take just a moment? Holy Spirit, we invite you as the one who is a gentle convictor. We tell condemnation that you have no place in this room, but we invite your conviction in Jesus' name. So, good Father, we receive your forgiveness this morning. Thank you for what you did that enables us to receive that. In Jesus' name, amen. Shortly before Jesus fulfilled the words that we read about in Isaiah, he was having a dinner with his closest community. It's often called the Last Supper. And at that meal, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, a sign of a new covenant." Today we have the opportunity to do what he commanded and to remember the sacrifice that he made. Here at Sam Alliance, we practice open communion, which means you don't have to be a member here to partake and take a part in this, but if you know Jesus, you're welcome to join us. The communion elements for those downstairs are here in the front. For those of you in the balcony, they are up top and you can go and take them. If you have difficulty moving, just let someone know near you. There are prepackaged things that they can bring back to you. But as we head back into worship, feel free to come. But would you ponder and would you remember that we come to the table and we remember these truths and we allow them to ignite dormant hope within us. We come to the table and today we remember and we remind shame that so badly wants to derail us that it has no power. Today we come to the table and we remember and we're led to repentance so that the enemy has nothing to hold on to in our lives. And today we come to the table and we remember with worship and thanksgiving a good Father whose extravagant love has never stopped pursuing us. Church family, come when you are ready. If you were here last week at the end of the service, Anya shared with you what we were going to be talking about today. She shared a little bit about the history of our church and gave you an invitation. Some of you may be unaware, but when Salem Alliance, the church, were over 100 years old, but when we first started downtown, we were known as the Repair Shop. It was a church where healing, physical healing, often broke out, and it was given that name by the community, the Repair Shop. And above the sign, above the front door, the sign had written on it, "Sick people prayed for, bring them." And Anya gave us that invitation last week, and some of you might even be in the room because you have a need, and you know today that our second invitation is an invitation to receive the healing of God that was purchased on the cross. We're part of an organization, a denomination called the Alliance Church, and worldwide, one of our distinctives is we believe Christ is our healer. We believe that Jesus still heals today. We don't believe that he can heal today. We believe he does heal today. Preaching on the topic of healing can sometimes be a difficult thing. Yes, there's the joy of releasing hope and faith into the room, and I want to do that today. In fact, in just the last 2 months, we've seen different healing stories happen. I've received emails and been told of different things. One young woman who there was just fractures in her family brought that burden on Good Friday and asked for prayer. And since then, a reconciliation process has begun with her family. Another man who was anointed and prayed for stomach and digestive issues was healed pretty quickly, a pretty incredible story. And there's two couples that were prayed for with high-risk pregnancies in their third trimester that are now parents of healthy children. And so we celebrate and we release hope into the room. And yet the reality is that many of us in this room have been in this place before where we've asked for healing. We've stood, we've come forward, and it has not yet come. And we're confronted with our suffering and our pain. We're taking these steps, but we're not seeing God intervene the way we long to. And I want to acknowledge that services like this can bring potential disappointment and confusion. It's natural for those to kind of come up, but we don't avoid the topic around here. We believe that one of the names of Holy Spirit is the God of comfort. His name is Comforter, and we invite his comfort to those of us in the room that are suffering today. We believe it's important not to stuff that disappointment, but to rather talk about it with one another and with God. In fact, when we talk about it with God, it's called lament. Lament is simply a prayer in pain that leads to trust, and we encourage our people to do that collectively in life groups, with neighbors, with family, to lament together and to lament to God. In fact, about a year ago, just over a year ago, we did a sermon series called Trust, to look at Job and James, and we walked through lament for 2 months. Some of you, if you haven't checked out that series, you might want to. And for some of you that find yourself in a season again of suffering and pain, can I encourage you to go back and listen again? The four steps of lament are turning to God, bringing our complaints. He wants our complaints. He invites our complaints and asking boldly, with the final step being a choice of trusting him. Earlier, we looked at Isaiah 53, and we're reminded that he paid for our sin and our sickness on the cross. But in verse 4, it reminds us that he also carries our sorrows. And while God's ultimate intent is to heal, there are many of us that on our earthly journey will not experience the full healing that we're longing to. And we'll continue to suffer in this in-between time, knowing one day that perfect healing will come. But until we're told not to, we're instructed to continue to seek healing in the now, hoping that a future glimpse of heaven in the future spills into the present. And while we don't really like to hear it while we're suffering, in the midst of our suffering, Scripture reminds us of some good things. Romans 8 reminds us that to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. We know that Scripture tells us that suffering develops perseverance and empathy. And we know that suffering keeps our eyes focused on his return and our future hope with our resurrected bodies. But truth be told, these are just empty words for many of us in the room that are really going through it, that are walking through the dark, sleepless nights, a recent difficult diagnosis, or a betrayal that really aches. Our reality is that we're in the room today and we're suffering. We're experiencing pain. But please let me remind you that you're not alone in that and that you have a God that knows intimately what it means to suffer. And let me also remind you that the enemy doesn't have the final say. But this morning we don't want to minimize the pain and the suffering in the room. But I do want to remind you that one day a future complete healing will come and that there is also potential for healing in the here and now. Christ is our healer. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been wrestling, knowing that this is where would we be going on this day, and yet spending a lot of time in my mind, theologically, philosophically, trying to understand why God sometimes doesn't heal. You see, my own personal story, I have a mom who I love dearly who was healed. She was healed of breast cancer when I was in high school in a day where she shouldn't have, where the stage that it was at, and it was a miracle. And it came back 15 years later in her lung, and the diagnosis was even worse, and she was anointed and prayed for, and the cancer dissipated, and she's still with us. She's 72, but in the last few months, she's had a significant cognitive decline, likely Alzheimer's. And it's tough to see. She's in New York, but on Mother's Day, she was here with us worshiping, and I got to spend Mother's Day with my mom, which is always a win. Mom, if you're listening, I love you. Sorry. She asked for prayer because she believes that Christ is healer still. Even though the same people that prayed for her cancer prayed for my dad, who was not healed. Confusion, yes. It's a mystery, yes. And she came up and we anointed her and prayed for her, and she was seen and she was loved and it was beautiful, but nothing has changed. Nothing at all. And so for the past couple of weeks, I continue to wrestle with this issue. Why does he sometimes not heal? And I know many of you in the room are wrestling with that. Why, Lord, do you not see me? Well, I want you to know that he does see you. And I want to release his comfort over you today. And I want to invite you to lament. But I also want to turn the script a little bit. And today, I just quickly want to give you three reasons that he does heal. And I want to remind you that he does still heal. That the future heaven and the realities that will be often spill into the now. And heaven does touch earth. So three reasons God still does heal in the now. First, because he's a God of compassion and love. Just a reminder, healing is a gift. We don't get to earn it. If we got to earn it, my mom would get healed because she's unbelievable. Some of you are incredibly righteous, good people that serve, and yet you walk in sickness. But it's his compassion. He heals throughout scripture. We see he heals because his heart is stirred, his heart of love. Matthew 14:14 is just this little verse, and he gets off this boat, he sees the crowds, and it says he has this compassion. It rises up in him, and he heals many of the people. He heals because he's a God of love. He heals because he sees us. He heals because he delights in meeting the physical, relational, emotional, and spiritual needs of his people. When he doesn't heal, sometimes we take it personal, but we shouldn't. But when he does heal, yes, we should take it personally. He sees us. A second thing, he heals to make visible the presence and the power of the kingdom that he has inaugurated. When he walked on this earth, the miracles and the healings, they validated who he was as Messiah. They validated his words. They gave him authority. And when healing happens still today, it affirms that the kingdom of God is here. It is advancing. It is on the move. It affirms his continued presence and work. Heaven touches earth and God is giving glory. There's a story of Jesus healing a man born blind, and it says in John 9 that this happened so the power of God could be demonstrated, so it could be seen in the healing. Healing makes visible the presence and the power of the kingdom. And healing gives us a glimpse of what will one day be. It's a sign that points to the future. Truth is that all healings that happen on earth, any healings that happened last night, this morning at the 8 o'clock, or will happen in the next two services are simply temporary. There's a story in John 11 of a man named Lazarus that many of you are familiar with. And Lazarus dies and he's laid in a tomb, and Jesus comes and he heals him. He brings a dead person back to life. That's kind of like an ultimate style healing. That's a pretty great story. But here's the thing. Lazarus did die again. It was temporary. He died twice. Don't be fooled in heaven when you're playing like two truths and a lie, and this guy's like, I died twice, and then you see his name's Lazarus. Don't fall for that. It happened. But it was temporary. And any healings that happen today are simply a temporary thing because they are a sign that point to something bigger. To our salvation and the eternal kingdom that is at hand. Dallas Willard says that the message of Jesus himself and the early disciples was not just one of forgiveness of sins. It was bigger than that. It was about newness of life. And it's that newness of life that we catch a glimpse of when there is a healing in the room. Back when people used to actually go to these things called movie theaters, there were these previews. When was the last time any of you were in a movie theater? Anybody been in a movie theater last month? Okay, there's three of you. Well done. Good job. Most of us nowadays, we just hit the remote and we skip the previews. But back in the day when there was these previews, every now and then there would be a preview that just captured the audience's attention. And there was this buzz and people were saying, we got to see that. We got to see that one. And then you would wait and it would say, coming July 12th to a theater near you. And everyone would be excited and there was this buzz that was happening in the room. Healing is our preview. When a healing happens in the room, there is a buzz and it points to the future. It gives us a glimpse of what is to come. Coming soon, the King of Kings, to make all things right. Why does God sometimes heal? because he's a God of compassion and love. Sometimes he heals because it makes visible the reality of the presence and the power of his kingdom that is at hand. He heals because it gives us a glimpse of the new heaven and the new earth that we will be part of one day. Much of healing is a mystery, but what I do know is that Jesus inaugurated the kingdom. On the cross, he paid for our sin, our sickness, and our shame. He has won it all. It is not yet fully realized, but every now and then, the fullness of heaven spills into our current realities. It's a mystery, but it's not a surprise. Because he's a good father who gives good gifts. Because he is Jehovah Rapha. Because he is the great physician. And so today we come and we ask boldly for his healing touch. In James, in the first chapter, we're admonished to be people of faith. But the details on what that looks like become a little bit more clear in James chapter 5, where it reads this. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We're also told in 1 Corinthians 12 that God grants to certain people within the church community the gift of healing. And so in just a moment, in the front here, our elders, our pastors, our ministry team members that have prepared themselves to pray this morning will be up here. And today we ask. We ask for God's gracious, compassionate heart to be manifest among us. As we often do, I want to read a testimony of healing to release faith and hope into the room before we open it up for a time of prayer. This came to me on Easter. Dear Pastor Rob, on July 20th, 2023, I fell and I broke my elbow. I went to urgent care and the break was not seen by the doctor, but he said I would get a call a little later to confirm the x-ray results after the radiologist would read the x-ray. The elbow was broken. In fact, I had decapitated the radial head. It was barely visible in the x-rays, and I was referred to an orthopedist. Over the next 17 months, the break did not heal. In fact, it got worse. Here's a picture of the break. I'll put it on the screen so you can see it. I'm not a radiologist, but that I see a full break there. Wow. The orthopedist had me using a bone growth stimulator for several months, hoping it would trigger the bone to heal, but that did not help at all. The orthopedist eventually recommended that I have surgery to replace the elbow, but also said I could continue and wait and hope that it would eventually heal, though he made clear he didn't think it would. I chose to wait and pray. I didn't want another surgery. On Palm Sunday, healing prayer was offered in church. You asked people to stand that needed prayer. I stood not knowing what to ask God to heal. I have a few choices these days. I told God to choose. Then the couple in front of me turned around and put their hand on my arm. And I knew what to ask healing for. While praying, I felt a slight movement in my arm. I felt a click, snap, like the bone had just reconnected. I knew I was healed. I wanted to get an x-ray so I had proof to show. I went for my x-ray and the orthopedist was again ready to get me talked into elbow replacement. But when he saw the x-ray, he saw I was completely healed and he was surprised. Here is the second picture of her second x-ray. Let me put those two next to each other. Again, I'm not a radiologist, but that's pretty crazy. I was humbled by this story as a person that at times is a bit skeptical, but I share it with you and I hope that faith rises in the room the way faith rose in my heart on Easter Sunday when she shared this story with me. Christy, thank you for your confidence and standing and thank you for releasing faith into the room with us. As we head back into worship, I want to invite our pastoral staff, ministry team members, and elders that have prepared themselves to come forward. There's healing, there's oil on the stage here. And as we head back into worship, would you worship? If you're comfortable and you want to pray for those that are receiving prayer, feel free to extend an arm and do that. But church family, would you join us this morning? Let's pray. Father, Son, and Spirit, we come before you. We ask for your healing power to be manifest in this room. Meet us in our pain. We come and we ask with boldness. Heal us. Show us your kingdom. Give us a glimpse and may we glorify your name. And give us the humility and the posture to enter into these spaces, knowing that even if you don't, we will still praise. Good Father, give us good gifts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.